we're talking about revival, right? One of the elements of revival, sick get healed, correct? So how do we get the sick healed? We increase our what? We get ourselves together, and we educate ourselves, and then we learn it, and then we go on out and step on out and do it. Many prayers that we pray are an insult to the Holy Ghost. You have to realize that you float in the Holy Ghost today. Amen. You know, if I'm thinking that he's not going to be flowing until tomorrow when some big thing pops out of the sky and then we get revival, then that negates today. It negates yesterday. It negates Sunday morning's worship service. It negates Wednesday night's worship service. It means that nothing we're doing is worth anything and that God's only concerned about tomorrow. You got to learn that the Holy Ghost is flowing right now. He was flowing before you came to church, and when you got up in the morning, that was the Holy Ghost, and that is the spirit of revival. And as you learn to honor what he's already doing and where he's already at, you'll find yourself able to go out and do greater things. Those that know the Lord their God will be strong and do exploits. Well, one thing we know about the Lord our God is he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we can get some crazy theology thinking that he goes away and then comes back and goes away and comes back and goes away and comes back. No, you just got dense to where you can't sense his presence. God is always there. You're just not tuning in. The signal's going on, amen, but you're just not pulling anything in. And that's what gets me about people sometimes. You know, you go to play, I didn't feel a thing, amen. Well, the signal was being broadcast, but were you tuned into where you could get anything? God is bigger than emotions. How many want to see the sick healed? You just go on out there and do it. Just get them healed. Someone said, we want to see what they saw back in the old days when revival came. Back at Azusa Street, we want to see what he did in Azusa Street. We don't settle for this. We want to see Azusa Street. We won't settle for this little bit. We want to see what they saw in Azusa Street. Because, you know, it was something better back then at Azusa Street. No, it wasn't, dummy. That was just one city. That was one city somewhere. And I tell you what, someplace around this world, God is having Azusa Street right now. Amen. Amen. Now, we had a whole world. The Holy Ghost fell in Jerusalem. Correct? But in America, they didn't know that. Amen. People thinking that, you know, that revival means that everybody's going to be doing everything. Amen. Every church is going to be on fire. There hasn't been one revival where that's happened in our nation. Did you know that? Then why would they call it the Asbury Revival? Then why would they call, if it was flowing in every church, why was it the Asbury Revival? If it was flowing everywhere, even in Bible times, why were they naming certain churches where the Holy Ghost fell at certain particular times? So we can get bizarre in our thinking, get out of Scripture, and just get silly when we just need to educate ourselves and start to honor where God has got you, amen, and walk out from there. Because many times you are seeing that God has forsaken you. God's taking care of you. You know, the Bible says he who is faithful with little will be faithful with much. Well, you got to be faithful with the anointing that you got now. You know, and saying that you don't have one is not real faithfulness, is it? Isn't that a great confession? Nothing's happening around here. Nothing. That is that faithfulness? Well, how can you expect to get more when you're not faithful with what you got? So being faithful where we are. And I confess every day, I get up and I'm just so excited. And at the end of the day, I just think, wow, God's moved today. I mean, if I worked on the website, boy, the Holy Ghost was on the website. I did exactly what God wanted me to do. He didn't keep me out of anything that I was supposed to get in. Amen. Learn it, because the devil will pressure you. He'll pressure you in your emotions and in your thinking and get you out of Bible and get you into your own understanding. And you'll miss God. And you'll miss God. And you'll miss your opportunities. Now, there are graces and anointings that do flow. I mean, times will come in where there's power and 5 or 20, you know, people get healed left and right, amen. But you've got to learn to flow in that daily anointing, and that's where the job is done. And when we can all flow in that daily anointing, something will happen. But every once in a while, something grand will come along there. I heard a prayer last night. We don't want to see you, man. We want everybody to flow. It doesn't need a name. Well, that's not the Bible, because there were too many names in the Bible. There were names in the book of Acts that said Stephen did this, right. Said Peter did that, amen? Well, if it was names back then, there'll be some that stick out today. So don't get, you know, don't allow people to get religious on you and out of Scripture. Amen. You know, when I hear that all the time, oh, there'll be a revival with no name, I say, but then I don't want to get in that one because I don't have any biblical reference to go along with it. There is no biblical reference to go on with it. God, the Holy Ghost, showed me. He said, look, I'm still doing what I was doing in Bible times. Brother Hagin's flowing in the Holy Ghost. Well, that's just like the Bible times. They would mention a name back then. Brother Hagin is doing what probably Paul and Peter did. People are getting healed through his ministry. Look at Benny Hinn. Wonderful. If the Bible was still being written, his name would be in it. So don't let the devil lie to you and get you out of sync and thinking that you're off course and that every church is off course, that the whole body of Christ is off course. We're right. We're close to it. So we're not far off. Now, it'll be greater. I believe some things are going to happen in a greater measure, but it'll be biblical. Amen. It'll be biblical. People just don't read their Bible. I mean, people just don't read their Bible. People want to make up their own revivals and make up what they expect God to do and what they think would be right. Amen? No, the Word of God says what's right. You hear things all the time, and that's why you got to be taught, and you got to learn the things of God. So when you catch things, you can get into something that's so emotional and be completely off sync and be able to miss God. You know, God could send an individual, and some Looney Tune told you it's not going to have a name. They got a name, so leave them alone. They got a name. The Bible says when Jesus came to town, it was noised all abroad. So publicity, there's nothing wrong with publicity. Amen. So you said, no, he's got a billboard. It can't be God. And so you go miss the revival that God is doing. We're learning not to catch Ishmael revival and to stick what God is doing. God's got it all under control, and he'll work it out. Now, what we got to do is we got to teach a little bit about healing. That's what we came here for tonight, right? To get you ready. Now, these meetings here at Nations have been changed a little bit. There's been more direction because we feel that the Holy Ghost wants to flow through you. So we equip so that God can move through you. And when we go to another place, maybe the anointing will be different, where people just need to experience graces. But you can't live on experiencing graces. That's nice to get you jump started, but after a while, you got to learn the word so you can get the job done. I mean, you can do that forever and never grow up, but you got to learn how to get the job done. Now, when you go someplace, you can put on shows, and signs and wonders are a sign for what? The unbeliever. Now, we can always have signs and wonders in our life, and we should have those things in our life. But believers walk by faith, not by signs and wonders. God does not lead us by signs and wonders. Amen. He just attracts people's attention with that. But after he gets your attention, he starts to move you and lead you by the word. I mean, that happened even in this ministry. People were attracted by the signs and the wonders and the laughter and the joy, and they will always be there, thank God. And they are there, and they're real. Amen? But that stuff's not going to sustain you and feed you. The Word will keep you and lead you and get you where you got to go. Stay out there in the wilderness and live off the signs and wonders. That will never change your heart. That will never change your heart. Didn't change all. Israel wasn't changed by it. Pharaoh wasn't even changed by it. And he saw great signs and wonders, and his heart never changed. It never changed. You got to grow up to the point to where, you know, you got to grow up to the point and say, hey, whether I see a finger grow out, whether I see toes pop out or not, amen, your word is true. And then you start to live by that. You start to live by that and walk by that, and you have fingers and toes grow out, amen? But even if they don't, but we believe they are and we stand that they will, we're walking in the Word. Amen. Because it's the Word that delivers us and heals us and sets us free. Amen. And that was the problem with the move or so-called move of the Spirit in the North Houston area. It was based in manifestation and little bitty wonders. But they weren't really wonders. Anybody can shake. A wonder is if I start dancing on this table and go off in the thin air, that's a wonder. If I freeze for 3 days, don't have to go to the bathroom, don't have to, and won't fall over, amen, well, that's a wonder. That's a supernatural wonder. You see things, say, anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. I can fall on the floor. That's not a supernatural wonder. I mean, I can trip over this sofa over here. That's not a supernatural wonder. That's nice, but that's not a supernatural sign and a wonder. That's just one of the things that God does. Amen. We haven't even gotten close to signs and wonders yet.
Amen.
So things were based on those things, and people were following those things instead of the Word. And all things work by the Word. Yes. And what we're going to do now is we're going to, somebody say, we're going to get the sick healed. And the best way to get the sick healed is to know your covenant. It's to know your covenant. And walk in that covenant and stand secure and do it. Anybody want to learn about healing? Now, we heard a Looney Tune over the radio when we decided we wanted to start walking, ministering and teaching and healing. That day, we got out in the car and we heard this preacher on the radio talking some stuff. It was so rough, I ran into a store and had the store clerk tape it for me and went back and bought the tape because I just had to keep it. I just had to keep the tape of just how crazy. This is one of the major theologians for a movement, and many people listen to him. And many people are sick today because they received that teaching. Amen. By the way, that teacher that was teaching against healing died of cancer. And that seed of teaching is all over the city. And it's all over the so-called body of Christ. And you got to understand that sickness comes in words. Sickness comes in words. And you got to find out, well, what devil? Sometimes there's a devil doing certain things. Well, what devil's got that person sick? It's the devil. You go casting the devil out. Well, listen, that devil might be locked behind a negative teaching or the wrong teaching, the wrong kind of teaching. Believing, oh, it's okay to be sick, and God wants me. You know, that's a door that's locked. It won't even release the spirit. That spirit that's got that person sick is trapped in that body and can't come out until you get rid of and out teach that negative teaching, that stronghold in their life. Now, many strongholds in people's lives are wrong teaching. Strongholds in people's life are wrong teaching. People have taught themselves crazy stuff, heard other people teach stuff. They've been taught by their parents. Racism strongholds, amen? They've been taught by their community. It's a stronghold. They've been taught and educated, so you must re-educate them, amen? The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So when people are believing in a lie and trusting in a lie, that person will barely get healed until you give them the truth. I don't care how much so-called anointing you think you have, they've got to have the truth. And that will unlock the door and loosen the power of the devil. Not how loud you shout. Somebody say, the Word. He sent his what? And healed their disease. His Word. And healed their disease. And you got to understand misteaching and wrong doctrine, amen, and religious chaos versus the Scripture. Somebody say, we're going after the devil. We're going after the devil. And ignorance. And ignorance. His Word heals. One of the ignorant things were, oh, I didn't sense any anointing. That's why that person didn't get healed. There was no anointing. Well, what was the Word? What was the Word? His Word heals. And the devil's trying to tell somebody else. No, people will come against you when you go out to do what God tells you to do. You pray in faith. The Bible says you pray the prayer of faith, and they shall recover. That settles it. You don't have to feel anointed. Amen. You are already anointed when you were baptized with the Holy Ghost. The anointing of the Holy Ghost abides within you. Amen. Healing's coming. Now, you might not have a gift of healing. Now, there are several people that there is a gift of healing. Now, we know there is a supernatural gift of healing. And when that healing is manifest, you can expect things to happen quickly. And it will happen right away. But listen, the Word will always heal. You go to certain churches, certain Pentecostal churches. I grew up in one. People taking 20 years to get baptized by the Holy Ghost. It says this in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. Surely he bore our griefs. Somebody say griefs. And carried away, somebody say carried, our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Well, if you're sick, guess what? You're healed. Somebody say, the Bible says we are healed. Oh, no, you get healed when some supernatural healing person comes and lays hands on you, or when the room feels real goosebumpy. No, the Bible says we are what? We are healed. Now, the first thing you need to learn about healing is that you are already healed. You are not the sick trying to get healed, but you are the healed of God, and the devil's trying to make you sick. Say, I'm already healed. Now rejoice in that. Now rejoice in that. Now you just start to celebrate that. You start to confess that and celebrate that already. Say, I'm already healed. Say, in the spirit I'm healed. Glory to God. As though they are. So you are. And if you're not that way in the spirit, it's not going to materialize in the natural. If you can't see yourself that way in the spirit, you're not going to be able to receive it in the natural. Amen. So you need to start to confess that. Amen. Already. That's what confession is all about. On the inside, I'm healed already. Amen. And that changes your prayer life, doesn't it? Amen. You know, you go to Jesus, heal me, Lord. Heal me, Lord. Heal me, Lord. Heal me, Lord. And he said, I've already healed you. Y'all want another tidbit? This might help somebody. I was ready to shout when I heard this one. Then somebody say, oh, he's just teaching about healing. Well, you can apply this in lots of areas. In lots of areas. That word, it says, surely he bore our griefs. How many of you can stand on healing and know that you shouldn't be sick? How many are settled that you should not, that it's not God's will for you to be sick? You just settled there. So you stand and say, that's not right. When I got the flu, I should not have the flu. Say, right? When you get the flu, you think, maybe I need to get some time. I need to get whatever I could get to get this flu off of me. That is not right. But even in Scripture, it says he has bore our griefs. You know that word griefs is more than just sickness? Do you know that word, grief, is more than just disease? When you look at that word, it's more there. You can change it out. It says, surely he has bore our diseases. That means that he's borne that disease. If you're diseased in your body, God, Jesus has already taken care of that. But it also means calamity. Amen. So when people are praying to get delivered from calamity, that it says that surely he has bore our calamity. When destruction's coming against you, amen, your bank account's being challenged, your business is being challenged, your family is being challenged, you've been devastated and tore up when the devil wrecked things and you got, why were you restored? Because he has already bore your calamity. When people are trying to tell you calamity is coming your way, it is already taken care of. And I found that out in Scripture that you can say, surely he has borne my calamity, that no evil shall come nigh my dwelling. He has borne my calamity. I don't deserve calamity, won't have calamity in any way. So I'm going to start to walk in that anointing that I'm not going to receive calamity, just like I'll pray against sickness. To be delivered from calamity is a covenant right for believers. Hallelujah. Griefs. So you can come out if you want to. He was stricken. What does stricken mean? That word stricken means beat up. Somebody say abuse. He was abused. That's deliverance, because he was abused. You're delivered from abuse if you want to be. Oh, we're getting way out there. Some people just want to stay religious and stay in a little bit of stuff that they know, but there's a whole lot more out there. A whole lot more happened. There's a whole lot more out there. That means there's a supernatural Holy Ghost anointing to deliver people from abuse. I don't have to be beat up anymore. Glory to God. You've been delivered. He was smitten And that word smitten means abused and beat up and stricken and all those things. There are many people that are still in abuse and not knowing that God has set them free. That there's an anointing to set them free from abuse, emotional abuse. People get into spiritual abuse. Somebody thinking they're super spiritual, nothing but a witch. Emotional abuse, physical abuse, any type of abuse, amen. God has set you free. And you need to walk in your covenant and say, I'm not going to have, this is not God's will. He didn't leave me to handle this all by myself. Say, he took care of it. It all. See, there are many people that will say, well, they get sickness, they get cancer, and they'll pray and use their faith to get rid of cancer. But there are some people that will live in abuse for 50 and 60 years. They'll let their boss abuse them, amen? They get rid of one boss, they'll find another abusing boss. They'll find abuse they'll be addicted to abuse. Abuse here, abuse there, abuse everywhere. They say, my parents abuse them. Then they'll get delivered from their parents that abuse them. And they'll find a child and raise that child to abuse them. There is an anointing to set you free from abuse. Stricken. Somebody say, afflicted. See, this is much better than you think. See, he's delivered you from grief. That means sickness or calamity. You're delivered from that. And you need to learn to walk in it like it's a covenant right. Like it's a covenant biblical right. Because it's in the Word. And abuse. The anointing of God sets you free from abuse. You know, it takes a grace to set you free from abuse. Don't you know if you start preaching that message that he has delivered you from abuse and you can show him in the Word and teach it to him? Do you know how many people would just come out? Amen. How many people would just come out? Do you know how many people in the Woodlands? Not everybody in the Woodlands got cancer. Not everybody in the Woodlands got a backache, amen? But there's some people that are in bondage right now due to abuse. And they need to know that there's an anointing of the Holy Ghost, amen, that Jesus covered it. I believe that when they beat his body and when he was smitten, he saw children being abused. He said, here's their deliverance. I believe that when he was beaten on his back, he saw wives being knocked around the house. He says, I'm taking it all. He took the whole bitter cup. Say, there wasn't a bit of the evil that he did not receive upon himself. He experienced it all. We have not a God that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He dealt with it all. Oh, somebody believe this. Somebody believe this. Oh, we just want to roll and scream and holler, glory to God. No, I want to set people free from abuse. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, it came to set the captives free. Be free. We're wasting time looking at each other and acting silly. We can act silly, but we need to do the job. We need to do the job. Somebody say, afflicted. Oh, people didn't like this. I had somebody leave town on me when I taught this one. Oh, Pastor, you just don't understand. Somebody, you don't understand. He's just so cruel. We came out against depression. Somebody say depression. Depression. You know this word, affliction means depression. Do you know that means beat down? Smitten means being beat, but afflicted means beat down. That means the effect of being abused. The result of somebody doing something to you and it leaves you in a state of depression. There are certain people that are no longer being abused by fathers, stepfathers, or mothers. Amen. Not being abused, but they're adults now. Amen. But nobody's beating them anymore. They've already been smitten, but now they're dealing with affliction and they don't understand why. They wake up and they don't know, why am I so depressed? This word affliction also means depression, beat down. But it said he took care of it. Study it for yourself. Go deeper. When they wrote the book, there's a whole lot more covered in every word. They couldn't use them all. And you can switch it out. The same word, it's the same Hebrew word for depression, afflicted, depressed. Can't get up. They say someone couldn't get up. They were afflicted and couldn't get up from their bed of affliction. Amen. They were just beat down in that sickness that they couldn't get up from it. What was the man at the pool of Bethesda? He was afflicted. He couldn't even get up to go and jump in the water when it was troubled. He had given up completely. Affliction is mental. When people can get sick in their mental. I mean, I knew people that were, I mean, you get healed from something else, and the next day they're going to come in with another one. They're going to come in with another one. They're going to come in with another one. Why? They are so beat down in their thinking. And that they are afflicted. They are afflicted. I can call them out by name. Their problem, they don't need healing. They are afflicted. Looking down or browbeating, to depress, to humble. Thank you, Jesus. It's all taken care of. Isaiah 53:4. Surely he bore our calamity. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody's been trying to, the devil's been trying to sell you calamity. You've been receiving it. Amen. Say, oh, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Smitten of God, afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Well, what happened to him settled it. What? What do you mean this one's got to shake? No, that one had to bleed. What do you mean, Pastor? What do you mean, Pastor? No, everybody's got to pray. No, he bled. Listen, his stripes healed me. You don't have anything to do with my healing. Glory to God. I'm not going to let you being off, deal with what he's already done. Does my lack of faith nullify what he's done on the cross? Grow up. Don't take lightly what the things of God, about the things of God. Amen. Jesus took care of the healing and he settled it then. He settled it then. And that's all that's needed. And all you got to do is preach and teach the word and it'll happen. Amen. That prophet tried, that teacher tried to say, well, when he was talking about surely in Isaiah chapter 53, that, you know, surely he bore our griefs or bore our sicknesses, that he was only talking about sin sickness, right? That was J. Vernon McGee said that when Jesus was talking about that, he was not talking about physical sickness. He was talking about our spiritual sickness or our spiritual condition. That he was not talking about physical. He was talking about our sickness of sin. Anybody ever heard that before? Anybody ever heard that before? Yes. Say, read the whole Bible. Isaiah was talking about physical healing. That's right. How do you know he was talking about physical healing? You don't got to guess. It's in the Word. You want to see it in the Word? I mean, this man, when the Bible school, got a doctorate. All he had to do is read the Bible. All you got to do is go right here to Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. And it will tell you exactly what Isaiah was talking about. You ever see somebody say the devil? The devil is a trip. He will lie. I mean, he will lie. I mean, the devil will literally misteach people and lie. He will leave out scriptures and build a case. And if you didn't take that stuff for granted and say, well, I guess he was right, and just didn't decide to get into your Bible, amen, I guess he was right. Oh, that's meaning, you know, many people are doing that today. Many churches, that's exactly what they wanted to receive. That's all I needed, amen. Oh, he was not talking about my physical healing. He was talking about our spiritual healing, that's healing from sin. That's not what he was talking about. Matthew chapter 8, 16. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were oppressed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. Somebody say word. And healed all that were sick. Now listen, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah, that's the same as Isaiah, amen, the prophet, saying he took our infirmity and bare our sickness. So there it is, quoted again, that sickness meant sickness. Somebody say it, fulfilled. He was not talking about sin sickness. He was talking about physical sickness. Said that it might be fulfilled. Isaiah 53:4 means exactly what it says it did. He bore our sicknesses. Don't you feel better? Say, I will not believe that anymore. The Bible tells us what Isaiah meant. It's settled. Isaiah 53:4 means he bore our cancer. He bore our headache. He bore our common cold. Amen. He bore our runny nose. Glory to God. He took care of our sin on the cross. The Baptists will use that on you. Yeah. This is Bible school. This is Bible school right here. We're teaching the word. You want to see demonstration, go out there and work it. Amen. But we're teaching the word. You need the word. That'll shut down many Baptists right there. Say, no, you're wrong. Go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. That's exactly what he was talking about. What? You got to know what you believe and why you believe it and be able to prove it in the word. Amen. The Holy Ghost, people that have the Holy Ghost know the word. And people are fooled. They put a bunch of degrees behind their name just as ignorant, just as stupid. Amen. Bunch of degrees behind their name just because they've been here doesn't mean nothing. It's the Holy Ghost that gives enlightenment to the word of God. How would they miss that with all them degrees? Stop writing all those books and start reading your Bible. You have no idea how many of them get... Because instead of them trying to read about a healing, they were trying to read to prove you wrong. The devil will help them. He'll teach. I mean, the devil will take somebody for 5 years and teach them something that's absolutely worth nothing. When they could be studying to find the truth. And that's what's wrong with certain people. They're studying to prove somebody wrong. That's not how you learn. Amen. That's not how you learn from God. You better get what you want from God. And that's how they got them bizarre theologies out there. Amen. Instead of them trying to read to find truth to go on to the next thing, they're trying to read to prove somebody else wrong, and the devil's helping them do it. How in the world would they miss that scripture? How in the world would a man with a theological degree miss that scripture? Have it in their head, been let out. There's a scripture in the Word that said their mind had been blinded. Discount everything. Throw it on out. And we think, well, they're the ones that really know. They're the ones that really know. They're the really smart ones. Amen. That would shake you up for missing that one. I mean, to go on national TV, to go on national radio, and teach that stuff. My God. My Lord. Go on national TV and lie over the radio. It's okay to be ignorant, amen. I pray he was just ignorant and just did decide to take liberties and cross out a whole passage of the Bible. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Are we learning about healing tonight? Is this helping anybody? You got to say, I'm going to stand. Say, I'm going to stand in my healing. And there are several things we're teaching down tonight so people can get healed. Now, you might not agree with it, amen. Prove it wrong in the Word. Prove it wrong in the Word. I don't want to hear about what you think, what you believe, and all this other stuff, amen. I want to hear the Word. Exodus chapter 15, 26. Listen, before we even get here, I want you to realize something about sickness, how sickness and disease does come. Now, we know it comes by the devil. The devil does things and will try to get over anything that he can get over on you. But he is not able to get over anything on you unless you open the door. It says that he was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquities. Transgressions and iniquities bring sickness. Rebellion is the same word for transgression. Revolt or rebellion. Sin. Trespass. Somebody stepping out beyond where you're supposed to go. Does that mean that everybody gets sick has been in sin? I don't know. I'm not the judge. That's not for me to say. Amen. Well, we were all born in sin. And the devil will try to do anything that he can do over on you. But listen, there are certain areas I went back to Isaiah 53:5, when it says, but he was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquities. Transgressions and iniquities is really what God was dealing with. Sickness can't come but by transgressions and iniquities. The devil can't do anything to you unless he has got an excuse or a reason. Even in Job's question, they say, Job didn't do anything. How did it happen to Job? Job said, what I have feared the most has come upon me. So he was in fear instead of faith. And what he feared came on him. You can go out there beyond the point of where you're supposed to be and get yourself in trouble. It's all right to get trouble. He'll get you out, but you can get out there beyond something. When you're doing what God tells you to do, somebody said, well, how can we ever get there? I don't know. Walk in the Spirit. Amen. I get sick, but usually when I get sick, it's the result of missing God in some area, either in the area of rest, diet, lack of the Word of God. That's usually the cause. What is that? Yeah, lack of the Word of God. It's always lack of the Word of God. Amen. Because if you read the Word of God will tell you to rest. And it will give you, many people go on and go on and go on because they don't have any faith. So they work themselves in a hole because they don't believe that God's going to do anything. And they're going to do it in their own strength. Amen. So they start working. They get themselves all worn out. And then they get sick. Notice that he sent his word and healed him. The number one way that people get sick is a lack of the Word of God. All of the Word brings healing. If you get the Word of God in your life, you stop worrying so much. Amen. Worrying and anxiety will cause sickness. It will give you ulcers. Well, you read that scripture. I will rest in him. You know, my sleep shall be sweet. And you don't even know. Everything the scripture is doing and everything the scripture is bringing to you is bringing about healing. When the scripture is talking about prosperity and you're always broke and worried about how you're going to pay your bills and you find yourself getting sick and worn out because you can't believe. Amen. That means that even scriptures on prosperity will bring healing to you. Why? Because when people are broke, they get sick. Yes, they do. It's a statistical fact. Sickness and poverty go together. People get worn out. And then they have to spend all their money trying to get well. Working to pay Peter and do all these other things. All of those things, if we had the Word of God, you live by faith. Sickness will usually not come nigh that dwelling place, or you'll know how to challenge it when it gets there. Take your medicine. Take your medicine. It's health and healing to you. Take your medicine before you get sick. Don't wait to get sick before you start taking it. Amen. Thank God when we get sick, we got a Redeemer that'll help us. But there is something. There is a level. Whether you're walking in it or not, there is a level. We know people that haven't been sick. Ruthie Dearman said she hadn't been sick in how long? 30 years? Brother Hagin said he hadn't been sick in how many years? 60 years. What does that mean? That there is a way that you can walk called divine healing and divine health. It just means we got to learn to get there. Amen. That means we just got to get there. That means they do. What is walking in divine health? That says God says go right. You go right. That's walking in divine health. What do you mean? I'm not sick. I mean, he's not talking about health. He's talking about which way I go down the street. Well, you don't know. Divine health comes because you're in divine will. Everything's connected together. He could be talking to you about your relationships, and you don't know him talking to you your relationship will keep you from getting sick. That's right. Don't hang out with these people. Don't hang out with those. And then you wonder why, you hang out with people that get you all stressed out and worn out, and then you're always sick. Ulcer here, amen, headache. It's all healing. So when you're receiving the Word of God, I don't care whether I'm talking about chickens in the Bible. Amen. The cock crowed three times. If I'm preaching that, guess what? It's health to your body. Didn't say the scriptures pertaining to healing bring healing. Says that it's all good for healing. That means when you're rebuked in the Word of God, it's all good for healing. It'll make you feel better. Somebody say, thank God for the Word. When you get sick, read anything. Just read. Jesse begot this one. This one begot that one. Amen. You'll get there sooner or later. It'll bring healing.
Amen.
So it's the result of transgression and iniquities. Does that mean you've been sleeping around somebody and that's how you got? People think that all the time. No. No, but we know that those things are the result of sin. So you got to realize what sin really is. There are a whole lot of people aren't doing anything, but they're still in sin. What? You don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't cuss, amen, you don't steal, you don't do all those other things, but you are in sin. Sin means outside of the will of God. That means if I'm supposed to be preaching in Humble, Texas tonight, and I'm preaching to you, glory to God, I'm in sin. It's missing the mark. Notice that Brother Hagin was trying to pastor when he was called to do something else, and he said God tried to kill him, and he had to get out of there. Why? He was in sin. Say, God's will is the bubble where you stay healed. The whole world's got a virus. You get what I'm saying? This whole place is contaminated. It's the black plague everywhere. And the only place that you can stay and not be contaminated with sickness is the will of God. It's the will of God. Thank you, Jesus. Just stay in the will of God. Does that mean everybody go out there and get in the world going to get sick? I don't care. Don't know. Amen. But I know that if I stay in the will of God, I'll be healed. Amen. I'm not going to figure out how you get sick. I just want to figure out how to stay healed. So that rebellion, when it goes into transgression, it's basically talking about rebellion, sin, transgression, trespass. Somebody say trespass. That means you got your nose in something you ain't got no business having your nose in. I've known people have been trespassing in transgression many times. I've trespassed and had to catch myself and say, uh-oh, back up. And that's where sickness comes. Amen. Trespass. I've known people get sick trying to be the pastor when they weren't the pastor. Amen. Does that mean that God made them sick? No, they were just trespassing. Walking in an area they didn't have any authority walking in and any idea walking in and got sick with it. What does that mean? What are you talking about, Brother Ron? You see many of people that have been, how do people get sick that have great healing ministries? They got sick and died. When you read these God's General series, how did they get out there and could heal all of those people and then catch cancer themselves and die? Trespass. What? What? Yeah. Brother Branham was called to do one thing, started to do another thing. Trespass. Somebody say, get it right. You can get sick by trespassing in your family's lives. You know, you've given your kids over to the Lord and said you're going to walk by faith on it and you're going to run everything and control everybody's life. You're trespassing. God's got it. Amen. You stay in your place and let God stay in his place and you'll stay healed. Go on over there, but you're going to go over there in your own strength. He said, you're going to go over there in an area I didn't tell you to go into. You're going to leave my oxygen mask. And you're going to, you go on your own. God is not going to equip you to sin. He doesn't intend for you. He intends you to walk by faith. Does that mean when you get sick, yeah, he'll heal you and you have to be praying for healing? Well, just stay healed. Don't ever go out there beyond the mark. Amen. Even if it seems like a good idea, make sure, forget good ideas and go with God ideas. Trespasses and iniquities. Trespasses are just stuff that's out there. It's just out there. It's not God punishing you. It's just out there. See, the Lord made that person sick. They came out against pastor and God made them sick. No, that stuff is just out there and you are just outside of an area of your covering and caught it. Trespasses. Are you getting that? Transgressions. Jesus came and delivered his people from transgression by being a pastor and leading them back in the right path. Notice that even though he was their people, when the spirit of death came through Egypt and he said, don't go out beyond the blood. If you go out beyond the blood, you're going to die. What? Yeah, who? Despite who you are, what you had to be behind the blood. And if you got out beyond the blood, amen, beyond the covering, amen, you died. You got in trouble. Jew, non-Jew, whatever it is, you lost it. And people got to realize the same thing. Stay behind the blood. And stay healed. But thank God when you do get sick, you can get healing. There's mercy and there's grace. I'm talking the Bible here. So that's transgression, sickness by transgression. What does that mean? That you can go to minister to people and you can correct the thing. Amen. You can ease the symptoms. See, when people get that anointed touch on, that's just dealing with symptoms. Just take the pain away. And they wonder how somebody can go to a meeting and they get healed instantaneously, while, and then 3 weeks later, that's right back on them again. Why? They didn't heal it. They just dealt with the symptoms. But the Word of God will heal it. What do you mean? The Word of God will cause them to repent and go back into the blood. Yes. See? And the minute that they get back under the blood, whether the symptoms are still there long enough, and they'll be healed. Turning is healing. That's why the Word always heals. You can get to a place to where sickness can abide. You know, we think that it's like this. Somebody's got cancer on them, and we go out there on their turf where they got the cancer, where all that stuff is, and we go pull the cancer out. Amen. Oh, get that. Wait for that strong anointing. And there are people with that anointing that can get that demon to come off and that stuff to come off. It comes right off. Then you say, now go into the house and stay there. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. What do you mean? Go and miss it no more. Go into a protected place and sin no more, because if you sin, it'll come back on you worse. They lose their healing that way because they stay out there where it's at. So when you do, you go and pull it off, but it's much better. Yeah, you can go out there and heal people, and God's called us to do that. You know, we can go to the Woodlands Mall right now and heal people and get it off, but it'll come back if you don't tell them to go back under the blood. So do both. Get them under the blood, glory to God, and heal them. Amen. Amen. After you heal them, say, now run up under the blood and stay there where you'll stay safe. Tell them how it got there. Say, hey, look, it wasn't your fault. You were just in a sick place. And see, that's why people get upset and they wonder, oh, are you trying to say that this one did something wrong? That one did something wrong? That this one did something wrong? No, I mean to tell you, there's just a place of healing. And this world is not the place of healing. Are you understanding the difference? How people could say, oh, he's just saying that if you're sick and you're in sin. Well, you got to understand what we mean when we say that. Amen. And our iniquities. Moral or evil. Now, iniquities are the result of when you moral stuff. There are things that will come on you for certain things where you can't inherit the kingdom of God. So, but we've been delivered from both of those. What does it mean? He bore our sicknesses and our transgressions. He gave us a means of escape. We can hide in him. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? We can hide in him. We can hide in him. That means you can always be healed. You can always be healed by hiding in him. Glory to God. Someone said, well, no, you need a healing anointing. No, hide in him. And I don't believe sickness can abide while you're in him. See, that's how you can get him healed. Amen. I might not be able to get them symptoms off of you right now, but if I tell you to get in him, you'll be healed. Glory to God. Just get in him. 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 This is what they mean. See, we're teaching the word of faith. And many of you heard just a little bit of it. But there's so much more behind it, and so that you can understand what they mean when they say that. You know, you think that somebody's talking about that the word will always heal you. How many heard that? You heard scripture saying that the word will always heal you. How many of you heard that? And now you're understanding it a little bit better, because it's broken down to where you can see how the word heals and how it's better to be healed by the word. Why does it say, call for the elders of the church and they'll lay hands on them, they shall recover? How many of you are happy that we figured that out? Say, I'm glad that I've learned what they mean when they say that. Now I understand when they say that the word always heals, and now I understand what they mean. So I don't have to be discouraged, and I don't have to, when someone needs to get healed, I don't have to worry about, oh, please, ooh, and try to work that up in my own self. I can have assurance when I pray that the prayer of faith will save the sick. That I don't care what's on me. I don't care where it's at. I can get you healed. As long as I can get you to Jesus, I can get you healed. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the healer. See, you got to learn to get you got to develop your real faith. Depends on the word of God and trust. And we've missed the best. We've missed the best. We've missed the best. That's God's ultimate plan, to get them on the inside. We've missed the best and gone on for brass and missed the gold. Brass means it'll look good for a little while. But when the heat's turned up, it's no longer worth anything. But gold means that it will always be there. What does that mean? Even when God, even when there's a wave, when it seems that there is no healing available, do you know that sometimes God will withhold the gift of healing? Did you know that? You can grieve the heart of God, but he'll withhold the gift of healing, but he'll never withhold healing in the Word. Did you know that? There are graces in time of God. I mean, I don't care how hard you pray, that anointing will not come on for healing because you are not promised. There is no promise for the gift of healing. That's as he wills. But you got a promise that his stripes will heal you, the word of healing. There is no promise that every service you go to, he will prophesy. But you got a promise that his word will always speak to you. Amen, and be there. See? See, you can act up and he'll shut off the gifts for a while. He'll calm down. You'll grieve the Spirit of God and he just won't move. And you better not move. You better not start no strange fire. That's what's wrong with a lot of churches you go to. God's been grieved and not saying anything and they're still going to go on. Amen. Listen, when God does nothing, that's a move of the Spirit. I reverence that just as much as he is doing something. Amen. Whether he says something, when he's not saying anything at all, I'm saying, oh God, he's moving. He's dealing. It's all God. But we got a way that we can flow and get our stuff done. This is some wild stuff, but it's some God stuff. We're talking about healing. You know that's the best way to keep your healing? Don't ever. So you should be glad that you hear this. Amen. So you don't have to wait for Benny Hinn to come to town. Praise God when Benny Hinn does come to get town. Thank God for that gift. Thank God for that grace. And thank God for that anointing. Amen. Thank God for that. And reverence that. You keep talking about it and keep running it down, you'll lose it. People were talking about Jim and Tammy Baker, talking about all that they did. You lost it. You don't have it anymore. Yes. People think that our nation's promised to have this and promised to get that. No, you abuse what God gives, you lose it. He'll never take healing from you. That's why you honor every anointing. Because those are graces. Building the case. Now, we'll get on to the other things that are pertaining to healing, but we needed to build a foundation. We needed to build a foundation before we even got into the other things, you know, how you get people healed, and we'll get into the gift of healing. But this is the foundation to healing, period, point blank. Above all things, this is what will work. Okay, above all things, which will work, then we'll get to the other things. When you feel, we'll even get to the point where we could teach when that healing anointing starts to flow to you. And we've had classes on that where people teach people how to discern the healing anointing, what the healing anointing actually feels like, and how to do that and demonstrate those things. We'll get there. That's nice. That's wonderful. But this will always work. That is not going to do them any good until you learn this. Based right here. So we understand that he, in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, and said, if thou will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God. And what is the voice of God? What is the voice of God? It's his word. Hearkening to the voice of God is listening to the word. And if you listen to the word, see, people that listen to the word stay healed. I will do that which is right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes. See, it's not just enough to say, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer and stuff like that. No, believers keep his word. And believers keep his commandments. Amen. They hear and obey. Lord, you know, many people say, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord. Well, if you don't obey the Lord, you don't love the Lord. I'm tired of hearing people say that all the time, singing all the songs. You know, those that love, the Lord said, you love me. Those that love me, obey me. And if you don't obey God, you don't love God. Point blank. Amen. He just goes beyond all the lines. Don't tell me, show me. And I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. You understand? Notice that he said, he's the Lord thy God that healeth thee. How did he healeth thee? By preparing a place where you don't get sick. You see that right there? He says, I won't put any of these things on you. I won't allow these things to get on you. And that's how he heals you, by not allowing it to get on you. and you allow it not to get on you by not getting out of there where it can get on you, by hearkening to his word. Amen. That's how he heals thee. You understand when people say, well, the Lord smote me. Well, the Lord smote me with sickness. No, you got out there. He smote the earth with sickness. He smote the earth with disease. When death came through Adam and Eve and sickness came, that's when he did it way back then. See, it's not like he looks at everything you do and say, oh, you did that real quick. There you go. Bam. See. Do you see that right there? He says, I will not put any of these things on you. Listen, it's already sickness and disease have already been put on the earth as a result of sin once and for all. And you go and pick it up. Don't you feel better? Well, what did I do? What did I do? And that gets beyond people saying, well, I must have did this. And they're, no, you just stepped out there where sickness was. See? And that's how he won't put any of these things on you. So you can say that God's not out there making people sick. He's not. People say, is God going to send me to hell? God's not sending people to hell. People are jumping in. I mean, he's not sending anybody to hell. People are jumping in. People are volunteering to go. You send yourself to hell. He sent his word to get you out. Amen. Choose and told you what to do, dummy. Choose life. I mean, he's not sending anybody to hell, but you choose to go that way. But he prepared the place of hell. For I am the God that healeth thee. So it was, first of all, he said, I'm the God that healeth thee, but it was never his intention that you'd be sick in the first place. See? He said, you hearken to these things, none of these things will come on you, and that's how I am the God that healeth thee. And we got it turned around the other way. We say, we go get sick and he heals us. We go get sick and he heals us. No, he heals us by not allowing us to get sick by withstanding in the word. But we settled it for less. Oh, we just get out there and we learn to walk in there a little bit. We never hear the word. We let the devil do whatever he wants to do. We let the world do whatever they want to do. And then we get all beat up and go to church. And then we're just so happy when we get those things on us. Then we go get prayed for and it comes off of us. And then we start singing, I am the God that healeth thee. When you're in the word, that's how God heals you. He said, I am the God that healeth thee. That basically means, for I am the Lord that healeth you. Basically, I am Jehovah Rapha. Say Rapha. He said, I am the Lord, your physician. That's what Rapha means. He said, I am your doctor. I want you to know you got medical assurance. You have, whatever you got, it's covered. You don't have to pay. There's no deductible, amen. It's all covered. It's all covered. You can afford it. He said, I am Jehovah Rapha, basically Rapha meaning physician, or basic the one that makes you whole. He said, I am the God that makes you whole. He's the God physician. The God physician. The God that makes you whole.
You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in The Woodlands, Texas.